We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Oh, I almost guarantee there's something else coming.
You know, hot, we know what we say about hot rumors. Turn them sideways, stick them right up your bum bum.
We made just the one trade today with Danton Heinen for Nick Ritchie.
Dale Arnold.
I'm not going to not play. I'm a ball player. Whoever picks me, I'm going to go show up.
Joe Burrow's coming back to Ohio.
Joe Burrow.
I saw this.
Tiny little hands.
Rich Keefe.
Oh, boy, Dale. Could it be?
Edmonton acquires Andreas.
Oh, boy.
A fan in... Hold on.
Come on.
We go to
Athanasiou.
Oh, careful. Did you dump that down?
Dale and Keith, middays.
I am Andreas and Atsadol, father to slain child.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. I will inject these numbers just because I was curious about them. We knew they were going to come out sometime Monday or Tuesday. Week one of the XFL. The four games that were on TV averaged 3.1 million viewers. Week one.
Okay. Sounds good.
Week two.
Yeah.
They averaged 2.1 million viewers.
Okay.
Week three that just finished.
Yeah.
1.61 million viewers. So in other words, half the audience that they had in week one, they've basically cut their audience in half by week three.
I think that's kind of on par, though, isn't it? With like a lot of shows. Like, put sports to the side, but like a good TV show, it debuts with like a monster number. And by the middle of the season, it's probably half of what it was at the beginning. Even if the show's really good, there's just a little bit of intrigue at the beginning. There's the whole like, oh, this has never happened before. Let's take a look at what it is. So, because like my question is like, what's the goal? Like, did they have one in mind? Did the XFL have a number that they're like, hey, as
probably
long as we have
not
a million,
losing 50% of their audience in 2 weeks?
Yeah, but it's not realistic to think you were going to keep the same audience from week one.
Week one was probably inflated because of the novelty factor. Right.
No, but my point is, did they have a number in mind? Not, oh, well, let's keep X percentage of week one. Like, are they like, if we have 1.5 million viewers per game, like that's good? Because I know there's been a battle, like wrestling, for example. The AEW and NXT, they battle on Wednesday nights.
Right.
Neither crack a million, but like AEW's been beating NXT by like 100,000 or whatever it is. And so they've been that's been like a little bit of a feud. I don't like Raw and SmackDown, I feel like both do in the millions. And if you're Vince, like are you looking at it like
right.
This is a Raw property or this is NXT? Like I wonder how he views it because it's minor league football. So like your expectations can't be that high.
When you were watching TV over the weekend, did you stop on it at all?
Yeah, I did, and it's actually funny. My daughter, who is almost 8 months, loves the XFL.
Does she?
Loves it.
Colors?
Yeah, it's got to be. They have cool uniforms.
Yeah.
The uniforms are bright, and there's a lot of action, but I just had it on in the background. Like, I wasn't super invested in the game, but I had it on because it was like a Saturday or Sunday afternoon, and I had her plop down, and she was like playing with toys, and she looked up. She was locked in for like 10 straight minutes on the XFL. I'm like, all right, I guess we're Roughnecks fans now, and so we're watching the game.
Could have get her a jersey.
But, like, It's what we've talked about before. If you're home and you just want the TV on in February and in March, it's basically, all right, you got a college basketball game that you like, or is it the XFL? Like, as sort of like background, kind of like just something that's on. Because I'm not a big news watcher, believe it or not. I don't watch a lot of news.
Get out of here.
So the XFL, I'll have it on. But again, I couldn't really tell you who even won. Like, I wasn't like super invested in it, but it was on.
I know that there's a team that's 3-0. I honestly don't even know who it is.
Shine probably has been betting on those guys every week.
Is it the Rough House?
DC team is good, I think, too, right?
The DC Defenders just lost this week to LA Wildcats.
Okay, LA Wildcats. Oh, did you have that in your pick on Friday?
I took the over, which hit.
Okay, see? Look, you can make money on the XFL. That's all the reason you need to watch it. But I still think two full seasons. I'm saying two full seasons for the XFL.
Before Vince's family says, stop spending our inheritance. And
pretty much, or just like, I don't know, it's just not worth it for everybody involved. But I think it's clearly already more of a real football product than the first XFL. And there's a little bit, and it's also better than the AAF. But that doesn't mean you're going to be around forever. But I would say 2 years.
There are some, not a lot. We've heard occasionally from a big XFL fan, oh, it's great, I watch it. I can't imagine that there are very many people who are sitting there planning their weekends, like you do with the NFL, obviously.
Yeah.
Planning their weekends around, I got to watch. Even if your team isn't playing, I'm watching NFL football Sunday at 1.
No, but I think it's nice to have it on. Like, I wonder if it sort of turns into, like, baseball for a lot of people. Like, baseball's on every single night. Once the season starts,
yep.
Baseball's on nonstop. And is it something that you watch every single pitch of? Like, that's really impossible. Like, big series, sure, here and there. Like, and, like, we obviously watch a ton of it because we talk about it. But the casual fan, like, it's on. And so you get home, you know, you get home from work 7 o'clock. You turn the game on, and as you're cooking dinner and you're doing whatever else, and the Red Sox are on, or whatever team you happen to like is on. And maybe the XFL can sort of carve out that niche because they're on Saturday and Sunday. So if you happen to be home, you're doing some stuff, you just want the game on, you're doing that. But it's hard to be super invested early on because these teams have 3-game histories. So it's not like you're going to be all that tied into it.
I was waiting to see the numbers, and I'd be curious, as you said, what the expectations are. They're not going to tell you. If they're below expectations, they're not going to tell you. If they're above expectations, they'll be trumpeting it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what Vince and the folks at WWE had planned for, mm-hmm. you know, the XFL in season one. They had a huge crowd. Was it St. Louis had their first game?
Yeah.
They had opened the first two
really
on the road.
Well. Yeah.
They had like 40,000 people or something.
Yeah.
For their home opener.
Like, I was watching the Tampa game, and they had, like, nobody in the upper deck, and, like, the bottom deck was, like, I mean, it was more than half, but it was, like, you're taking away so many of the seats. But that's sort of unfair to them to play in an NFL stadium.
And, by the way, we've been saying that since they started. Don't play at MetLife Stadium.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
Don't play there when you seat 80,000 in the place and you're putting 17,000 because it looks like your product doesn't matter.
Right, it's like an MLS team. You know, the Revolution have to deal with that. They can have a really good product, and it's just you're not going to be able to fill Gillette Stadium. So it just doesn't look as good.
Beyond the hand measurement thing and beyond the Don Yee meeting with the Patriots thing, the other curious aspect for me from the combine is who the Patriots are meeting with.
Seems like everybody.
And I'll give SB Nation, the Pat's Pulpit, has put together the pre-draft tracker.
Oh,
who they've interviewed, who they've worked out, who they've met with, starting at the East-West Shrine Game and through the Senior Bowl and now at the Combine. And I'm just, you know, doing the quick math here at the Combine.
Mm-hmm.
They've met with tight ends Adam Trautman, Hunter Bryan, Stephen Sullivan. These are just tight ends. Jacob Breeland. No Moss.
No.
Didn't meet with him. Maybe they don't think he's going to be around by the time that they'd be willing to spend a pick. They've met with a couple of quarterbacks, Jake Fromm.
I don't want Jake Fromm.
Jordan Love, Jake Lufton. Those are the quarterbacks that they met with at the Combine so far.
Yeah.
And then wide receivers. Now, remember, this is all done in stages. So, offensive line isn't there yet, and the linebackers.
It's wideouts and quarterbacks are there right now.
And tight ends.
Okay.
So here are the wide receivers they've met with so far. K.J. Hill, Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
T. Higgins, Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
K.J. Hamier, Penn State. Denzel Mims, Baylor. Henry Ruggs III, Alabama. Of course they did.
You got to talk to him. Yeah.
No, just an Alabama.
No, I know.
James, is it Proche or Proche, SMU?
Not sure.
And Donovan Peoples-Jones, Michigan.
So a lot of those guys, I mean, seem like first, second, third round type guys, just off the top of my head, the names that you sort of mentioned there. So is there a lean right now? Obviously, we have a couple of months till the draft, but if they pick at 23, as it stands right now, is there a position? Forget about the player for now, but is there a position that you want them to target?
With 23?
Yeah. Yeah, just with the first round pick. Because the mock drafts are all over the map. They're quarterback, they're safety, they're linemen.
Probably an offensive lineman.
Ugh, yeah.
Because I think you're going to lose Joe Tooney.
Yeah, I agree with that. Tooney's gone. And there's been some discussion. I think it's just internet discussion. It's not like, it's just been like writers sort of theorizing. Moving Isaiah Wynn to guard. But then you would need a tackle. But yeah, offensive linemen, it's not that exciting. But if you can get a guy that's going to start for the next 10 years, that's probably the way to go. Or quarterback, like depending on who falls there. Because whether Brady's back or not, they need to draft a quarterback.
Oh, God, yeah.
Don't you think?
Oh, yes.
So, and if, you know, somebody is there, whether it's, you know, Jordan Love or whoever, I don't know who they like. I don't know what their big board says, but I would be all in on a quarterback in the first round. Not a receiver. You're going to pick the wrong one. And I know, who was the writer that said there could be as many as, like, what was it, 30 wide receivers or 60 wide receivers taken in the whole draft? Something insane.
Yeah, they said this is the deepest wide receiver draft maybe ever.
Or it's like 30 in the first three rounds, I think.
Something like
that.
And
I was like, so one out of every three picks is going to be a wide receiver. But I just don't trust the Patriots to draft Walt. So really, any position other than wide receiver, I would kind of take.
At the East-West Shrine Game, they met with quarterback James Morgan, Florida International.
Okay.
Wide receiver Aaron Parker, Rhode Island.
Yeah.
At the Senior Bowl, they met with running back Eno Benjamin, Arizona State. Wide receiver Antonio Gandy-Golden, Liberty. Tight end Jared Pinkney, Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then the combine, we told you, you know, how many guys they've met with at the different positions. At both the East-West Shrine Game and the Senior Bowl, it does not appear that they met with any offensive linemen, defensive players at all.
Yeah, what'd you make of the report, though, that Dante Skarnecki is still going to help him out, though?
Good.
Yeah, that probably helps, right? If he can identify some guys, bring them in, even
which
if he's
not
coaching
them. Which
is the
other reason, I guess, I'm sort of leaning towards an offensive lineman in the first round.
Yeah, they could. I mean, they had no depth last year there, and it was tested, and that was a big problem for them. And then if you throw in their best lineman, it's going to be gone. Yeah, it's not exciting. But guess what? Last year, a wide receiver in the first round should have been exciting. He was hurt for half the year, and then he didn't know where to line up for the other half. So
that's bad.
That kind of backfired. So I guess a lineman is probably the safer bet.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. AJ's in Falmouth. Hey, AJ, how you doing?
AJ. I can hear you. Can you hear us?
Apparently not.
Bark twice if you're in Milwaukee. No?
I'll put him on hold, but I mean, I hear him breathing. Could this be a bad thing?
It could be a good thing. You want to be breathing.
Well, no. Could it be that he's, you know, passed out?
Oh, maybe.
It's a little early in the day.
Did you hear that story? Well, that's not.
Yeah.
Did you hear that story that Danielle was talking about yesterday during their news segment about how at, I forget which fast food place it was, but there was it was 1:30 in the morning, three consecutive cars, the person driving was asleep. They all fell asleep.
I believe
in
that.
The drive-thru, and they like all got DWIs because the guy working the booth was like, these cars aren't pulling around. So he called the police and they came and like they all got DUIs.
By the way, Joe Judge is making the rounds at the Combine. We saw him on NFL Network.
Yeah.
They show him at the podium here. He says, Joe Judge says, every player has a blank slate, including his quarterback, Daniel Jones.
Quarterback does well. And
we've got to build around everyone's skill set. So, yeah, you're right. You know, every position has to add into what you do schematically. But every position is going to be competition every day. Every position.
Will Daniel begin as your first quarterback when you do get
there? Our depth chart's on that board right there right now. No one's got a spot.
Yeah, good point. Saquon Barkley.
No one's got a spot.
Barkley's not your starting running back right now.
No, he's not. We've got to judge everybody.
That is really like, I know that's a real football type of thing. Does that work in 2020?
I don't know.
Like, oh, everybody's going to earn their keep around here. Remember his thing was embarrassing. We're talking like smash mouth, hit you in the nose, hit you in the mouth. You're like, all right. You're not even allowed to do that
anymore.
Doesn't
it always feel like every Bill Belichick disciple goes out there and starts with that kind of rhetoric?
Yeah, probably. And the number of those guys that have done well. And I know people have tried to spin it. They spun it this last playoff run. They're like, hey, everybody that says the Belichick coaching tree is not good, you're wrong, because look at Mike Vrabel. I'm like, well, Mike Vrabel doesn't count. Mike Vrabel was never on the coaching staff. And that's what I think you have to look at. And it's been bad. And we'll see. Maybe Flores can turn Miami around. I think he at least has a chance. Patricia's been bad in Detroit. And I don't know. Joe Judge was such a surprise hire. And then listening to him with all the stuff, like, oh, nobody's going to spot. Everybody's going to earn their keep. Like, all right. So you're gonna bench the number, 8 pick in the draft last year, the quarterback who was not He was not bad last year. He had his moments.
No, but we even had the notion that among the 11 teams that I said had expressed some measure of interest,
yeah,
the Giants were on that list, and we went, but you got Daniel Jones.
Right. So that one does seem
odd. I wonder if Joe Judge is as fired up about Daniel Jones as the Giants were.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he did take the job, but at the same time, it was either that, Mississippi State, according to reports,
yeah,
or staying with the Patriots. And, you know, you don't have to be as choosy with your first job. Like, Josh McDaniels, if he ever gets another opportunity, can't go to a team that has no quarterback, because then he's probably going to fail and then he's going to be out. Joe Judge can just jump from special teams coach, which only John Harbaugh has done, and become a head coach, whether he likes Daniel Jones or not. But I know that name, I know they've been brought up, and I know you mentioned them before. That would still be pretty shocking to me, because if Brady goes to the Giants, I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender. They're barely a playoff contender, you know. Whereas if he goes to a number of other teams, they're an easy playoff team and maybe even beyond. But jumping in there in front of Daniel Jones, and now it's year. So he plays a bunch as a rookie and then has to sit for maybe his next 2 years. Like, I don't, that doesn't make sense.
The other question that some people have had concerns Tennessee. And you've thought that,
yeah, I think,
you know, Tennessee's
sense.
A great,
yeah,
fit,
yeah,
despite what Ryan Tannehill did there this, mm-hmm, year. And despite all that, well, John Robinson, who's running the football operation down there for Mike Vrabel, was actually asked about it today.
We'll see how it goes. You know, he's under contract here for the next few weeks, and he did a great job for us. And you know, we'll start those talks and see kind of where those go. And just like all the other players.
So he's talking about Tannehill there.
Yeah.
So I mean, between Tannehill and,
we'll see how it goes.
Well, they also got Derrick Henry.
Yeah,
who's more important, and they got to figure out what they're doing there. But I'd be shocked if next season the Titans didn't have, if they had somebody other than Tom Brady or Ryan Tannehill. Don't you think they either upgrade with Brady for a couple of years or they find a way to re-sign Tannehill? Because Mariota's going to be gone. He's going to go somewhere else. And there's been no other rumors for Tannehill anywhere else. So I think it's going to be one of those two. And then it's a matter of, do you give Derrick Henry Ezekiel Elliott money, or do you just franchise him, or how do you have to bring him back?
By the way, when Robinson was asked about Tom Brady to Tennessee rumors, he wouldn't comment.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you can't really.
Yeah, what are you going to say? No, we have no interest when you might, or.
Well, that's what's tricky about it, too, is first of all, in that job, you really can't be honest. And also just the timing of it. I think, yeah, if he said anything there, isn't it technically tampering?
Yeah, technically,
I think
he's still
is.
Under contract, right?
Yeah, like he was saying, like, Tannehill's under contract for them, so Brady's under contract as technically for the Pats. So he can't really say anything there, but. Yeah, that's one where I think it makes all the sense in the world. You know, when you consider Vrabel, Derrick Henry, I'm going to assume is back. A.J. Brown, you know, Adam Humphries. Corey Davis is not great, but I think Brady could make him better. They got decent tight ends. And then you throw in the fact that, you know, Jeff Darlington, who seems to be pretty tight end, he has the Titans as his favorite. Like, it's kind of pointing in that direction.
We've got a bit of an update concerning the Bruins lineup for tonight. They finished the morning skate. Bruce Cassidy met with the media. Nick Ritchie will, in fact, play on the third line tonight with Charlie Coyle and Anders Bjork. Andre Kasha will not play. He will sit out tonight's game. Cassidy said he could see action later on in the week. They play Thursday at home and then Saturday against the Islanders on the road. As he pointed out, Cassidy pointed out, Kasha hasn't played since February 7th. So they wanted to make sure that he's ready. And, you know, Nick Ritchie's been playing all along. He had a four-point night a couple of nights ago.
Right, so he'll play. So, yeah, the Kasha thing, not an ideal start. Like, let's be honest. Like, if you can't play as soon as you're assigned and there's an injury history there, like, this isn't just this season. Like, you go back through it. He's young, and so this is, what, his fourth year in the league. But every year,
yep,
has been kind of, he's missing games. So, I don't know. I wasn't wowed by that one, and I know a lot of people are excited and put him on the second line. Well, he's not ready the first week, so who's to say when he's going to be ready? And then when he does show up, how long is he going to be able to play?
Well, we did have a feeling that might be the case based on what Don Sweeney said yesterday. Bruce Cassidy confirmed it today. My guess is you'll see Kasha Thursday at home.
Yeah.
But Ritchie will play tonight. He was here. He arrived late last night. He got on a plane late yesterday afternoon. And so just to keep you up to date on that stuff as well. By the way, Mike Mayock, was talking today with the media at the Combine as well.
Yeah.
Mayock was defending Derek Carr's play last year.
Okay.
But he says the team will always consider upgrades at every position.
Yeah, of course. They're all in on Brady.
That's exactly what he's saying.
They're all in on Brady. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald Sr. is not trying to get on the Scoops leaderboard. Like, he that's not what he's interested in. And that was a real report. And I bet that's a base offer. 2 years, $60 million when he said the Raiders would offer that to for Tom Brady. They're 100% going to do that. And then they can trade Derek Carr. Because one of these teams, after all of this madness, one of these teams is going to be there without a real starting quarterback. And then they'll trade for Derek Carr. And that team might even be the Patriots.
Here's Mayock this morning at the Combine.
To me, those are the issues. Derek Carr played at a high level. I'm very happy with Derek Carr. What I've told everybody I've been in touch with since the day I took this job is we're going to evaluate every position every year. And if we can get better, we will. And guys get tired of me saying that, but that's really what I told Mark Davis before I took the job, and that's my mantra.
That's what you got to do.
We're interested. By the way, he was also asked about Antonio Brown. He had no comment. He said his time with the Raiders is up.
Yeah, I mean, why would... I mean, I don't know.
He wouldn't... I mean, Mayock
would... Why would you ask him about Brown, though? Well, like, who cares?
If he got Brady, the thought process is, would Brady and Brown want to... Well, Brown definitely wants to reunite
Brady
with
would.
Brady.
They both would.
But as far as Mayock is concerned, not happening.
No.
Even if they end up with Brady as their quarterback, and they might... there will not be an Antonio Brown reunion. Mayock's words, his time with the Raiders is up.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. That is actually, in fact, well-documented thanks to Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Well, and Brown for releasing some of the phone calls between he and Gruden and everything else. I mean, Brady and Brown could play together again. It just won't be in New England or Vegas. And obviously not Pittsburgh. But all the other teams, like, there's a chance.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Tom E. Kern will join us at the top of the hour. He'll be with us in studio from noon to 1. 1:30 today, Kiefer Madness. It's Dale and Keefe, and it's time to trend.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Dale.
You know you done messed up, right?
And Keith.
You wouldn't want that on your pancakes.
On WEEI.
Well, according to Peter Gammons, it would appear, according to Gammons, that they could have the report from Rob Manfred by Friday.
All right. We will sit and wait. Friday, we're finally going to get the answer that, they did nothing. And we'll just have to believe that.
According to Gammons, Manfred is expected to make a preliminary finding early in the week. That'd be yesterday, today. Meet with all parties and then render a decision likely on Friday. Hmm. Now, we have seen everything from, this could be Armageddon to, there's really nothing there. There's nothing to see here.
What do you think? I mean, the players have all been pretty adamant that they're not going to find anything. JD Martinez, Andrew Benintendi. Now, they also haven't gone as far as all the other teams in baseball and just ripped the Astros. So it's like they're kind of like, hey, we didn't do anything wrong. Where every other team is saying that the World Series was tainted in 17, that Altuve's MVP was tainted. The Red Sox haven't done that. But then also there was that report that came out that said, hey, they got the go-ahead to hire Ron Renneke, and he's not involved. It's like, well, how is Ron Renneke not involved if there was something going right. on? Yet they also fired Cora, so like, would they do that if it was just stuff with the Astros? So it's sort of pointing in the direction of they really didn't do anything, or I'm sorry, they can't prove that they did anything. Because also the three people, the three sources that talked to Ken Rosenthal and Evan Drellick haven't been named yet. They haven't really come forward, I don't think, publicly.
And we
or
don't,
I know they haven't
And
publicly.
We don't know if they've talked to Rob Manfred
yeah, we don't
or,
know that.
Or Major League Baseball.
Yeah, we don't know that. Here's my one thing on Friday is if Alex Cora's punishment comes out, and let's say it's a year, and they associate it all with the Astros, and they find the Red Sox and they take away like a draft pick.
They're at least going to do that, I think.
How can you do that if they're not guilty?
Because, well, yeah, it's a good question, but...
You're right. Baseball might do that, but then I would look at it and say, well, then you guys are definitely guilty of something, and now 2018 is tainted. I mean, it probably is anyway, but there's a chance if they go through and they're like, hey, we can't find anything. Alex Cora did a lot of bad things, but he did them all in Houston. Well, then, all right, I guess in a way, case closed on the 2018 Red Sox, and it looks like they may have gotten away with something, but you can't punish them and say, well, they weren't as bad as the Astros, but they did stuff. We like, all right, well, what did they do? You have to have a reason for taking away a first round pick. As dumb as it was when they took away a first round pick for some of the stuff here in New England, it still happened, or for the Patriots, I mean, it still happened, and that was their reasoning, as flawed as it was. But for the Red Sox, you got to, or if you're Major League Baseball, you got to give us a reason.
Yesterday, Altuve got hit, reportedly intentionally, in his first spring training game. The Astros got booed relentlessly, and this is just the tip of the iceberg. Now, they didn't, you know, toss the pitcher out or anything like that, but Altuve got plunked right off the bat.
I love it.
Preseason.
I love it.
Spring training.
Yeah. Boom. So what do you think it's going to be like in the regular season?
Well, they've set the over-under number on 83.5, the number of hit batsmen that
we got to hit the over on that. You absolutely have to hit the over on that. And you see the other part of it, too, was Mike Fiers got applauded. I don't know if he got a standing O or what did he get, but they were all... He had like a really warm welcome.
Yes.
At spring training. Obviously not on the Astros anymore.
No, but I think fans like what Fiers did most.
Fans do. David Ortiz does not.
Not so much.
Pedro Martinez, Jessica Mendoza, they do not. They thought he should never have said a word about it and just let it go on. But yeah, I think it's going to be a really long year for the Astros. And I guess my question would be, do you think the, I don't know, is it pressure, attention, all that stuff that's going to associate with the Astros, do you think that affects them this year?
Yes.
They've won over 100
games. I think it
games,
has to.
Three straight years. You're probably right. And isn't that more?
I mean, they had to fire the general manager, whether they had to or not, they did. Fire the general manager, fire the manager.
Right. And now I just think these guys, even though the league's like, oh, yeah, we're going to try to protect these guys, they're going to be thrown at Altuve. They're going to be thrown at Bregman. They're going to be thrown at all of them. Plus, just on the field. You know, Garrett Cole was so good for him a year ago. Garrett Cole's gone. Dusty Baker, you a big Dusty Baker guy? Like, he's probably going to throw some of those pitchers right into the ground.
Oh, yeah.
So I look at it as another reason to be frustrated with the Red Sox, because going into the year, if I said Mookie Betts and David Price were on the team, they're not as good as the Yankees, they're not as good as the Astros. Well, if the Astros are dealing with all this nonsense all year long and it really affects them, on paper, they're not as good as the Yankees, but don't they have sort of a puncher's chance with everybody else in the American League?
Again, here's Gammon's quote. Next, the Red Sox. Manfred has submissions. He's expected to make a preliminary finding early in the week, meet with all parties, and render a decision likely on Friday. Now, a texter brings up a perfectly valid question. Does meeting with all parties include Alex Cora?
I'd say he's prominently involved, because right now he seems like the only guy who is going to get punished of all, right? Because the players aren't.
Well, if the one report about Renneke, there's nothing to see here,
but they still have to rule on Cora, because Cora could have been punished because of the Astros thing, but they waited because they wanted to combine it with the Red Sox thing.
Yep.
So he at the very least is going to be the name, and whether it's 1 year,
so he's going to at least get a year suspension.
That's my guess.
Which is what Hench got and what Luhnow got.
That's my guess on that. And I don't know if, again, depending on what they find with the Red Sox, does Dombrowski get roped back in? Not that he has even a job right now, but does he get some sort of punishment from baseball as well? And then what do they do as far as taking away draft picks? And again, if you do that, you better have something. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense.
617-779-7937. Eddie's on the cell phone. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great.
Hey, you know, I don't know how you all feel about this, but I just have a problem with Ortiz calling this guy a snitch. And it just makes me ask the question, what does that say about Ortiz? I mean, the guy's speaking out. He's telling something. I mean, if Ortiz really feels the guy's a snitch, maybe he should just keep that comment to himself, because I think it's rather quite telling, in my opinion.
Yeah, I thought it was terrible. I mean, everybody ripped Jessica Mendoza. Everybody ripped Jessica Mendoza for saying it.
Yeah.
She lost like 3 jobs because of it. And then David Ortiz says it, and like, well, it's Poppy. It's our guy Poppy. I'm like, well, if how come? And his one of his issues too, Eddie, was Fire should have said something during the year
when he's playing on
the
team.
When he's playing, he should have said something during the year. Yeah, just like he would have ratted out Manny Ramirez during the year for roids, or ratted out some of his other teammates, or I don't know, look in the mirror, like all those things. I thought it was a bad look as well.
Calling him it's basically calling somebody a snitch is calling him a rat.
Right.
And to me, that's somebody that does stuff that doesn't want to be ratted out. I think it's just kind of exposed a little bit of who David Ortiz may or may not be.
Right.
I will say this, given David Ortiz's history and as much anguish as he expressed that he felt after he was named on this list, it wasn't supposed to be public.
Well, he was going to find out how he got there.
Yeah, what was it that he tested positive for?
Still investigating.
So for a guy with all of these questions about his integrity, to cast aspersions on Mike Fier's integrity seemed a little strange to me.
Yeah. So you look like a snitch.
And I do think it's a really, like, it's a difficult topic because, again, you don't want to be a snitch. You don't want to be a rat. You also, just growing up, like, you don't want to be the tattletale. Like, that's just how it is. Like, as a kid, like, that's something that you're sort of taught. You're like, all right, I don't want to do this. But there are certain things where this is. So, in Ortiz's mind, would he be good with the Astros just doing this every year into eternity? And every year, they just are cheating, they're stealing your signals, and that's just how it goes? Like, no, this needed to come to an end. And somebody had to do it, and thankfully, Mike Fiers did.
Here's the other question I'd like to have heard Ortiz answer. He's playing with Manny Ramirez, and it's the best 1-2 punch in Major League Baseball. David Ortiz doesn't say anything, but somebody else on the team goes public and says, I'm telling you right now, Manny is taking stuff.
Oh, he'd respect that guy.
Oh, he'd be fine with it, yeah, right?
Nope, not even a little
when
bit.
When he was in the middle of reaping the benefits and the rewards of it.
Not even a little bit. He would respect that at all. In fact, that would be worse. And I think it's almost impossible to expect somebody in the middle of the season to derail the year, right, and do that. Because especially, you know, the way that season's going, he and the other pitchers on the staff, they're going out there and they're not getting the benefit. Yes, they're getting the benefit of run support.
Sure.
I'll give you that. And that's that is a big deal. But as far as them going out there and having a 5 ERA or a 3 ERA, that pretty much, as far as we know, was on them. And so those guys weren't getting, you know, the individual stats and things like that all the hitters were benefiting from. And I don't know, maybe he was torn about it. Maybe Fiers was like, oh, God, I want to say something. And Ortiz's excuse for it, too, was pathetic, where he's like, oh, you want to get all the money and all the glory and all that other stuff first. Did Mike Fiers really cash in like crazy because of that season? Like, I guess I'd have to go and look at it. But my guess is no.
If one of David Ortiz's teammates had done the honorable thing and blown the whistle on the Red Sox while he was playing and you know, batting 3-4 with Manny Ramirez, he would have respected that guy, right? He would have been okay.
Oh, yeah,
with
he would have loved that guy. He would have propped that guy up. And we talked about this at the time. Ortiz just had comment after comment after comment, which just seemed so out of touch. And remember, he said he felt bad for Rob Manfred. Although, it was also reported that Rob Manfred was made aware of what the Astros were doing in 2018, I want to say, and did nothing about it.
Yep.
Did nothing about it. The league knew. Remember Jonathan Lucroy was saying, like, we got it up to, we told the league, like, this has got to stop. And it didn't. And so Rob Manfred is also comes across as such an idiot. But then when Ortiz was going on and about how, you know, Carlos Correa said Jose Altuve didn't cheat, so I believe him. Like, what the hell is happening? I don't know. He's lost it. I don't know what's going on with Ortiz.
A texter says, well, how can Alex Cora be suspended? You know, didn't the commissioner say it was only the manager and the general manager? No, they were pretty explicit about Cora's part in all of this.
And Beltran, too.
He just said they were going to hold off on announcing anything concerning Alex Cora until the Red Sox investigation was done.
I still feel like it's such a weird loophole with Carlos Beltran, because let's say he was 5 years younger and he was still a veteran player and he was still in charge of that whole thing and he was a player right now. As much as we know that he was involved in it and kind of made a lot of the guys keep doing it in 17, they wouldn't be able to suspend him, right? Like, he'd still be playing if he was younger.
Presumably so.
And the Mets, again, I think the Mets were kind of forced to get rid of him, or maybe they just didn't want to have to deal with it anymore. But the Mets didn't have to fire him because, again, Beltran was a player and he hasn't been suspended. He hasn't been at least publicly banned from baseball. Now, there might be a sort of a memo around the league that, hey, we're done with Beltran for a while. But as far as we know, he could be a manager. He could even play if he was younger.
617-779-7937. Paul's in Marblehead. Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys. Good show.
Thank you.
A couple quick things. It's been a lot of talk about a lot of people on all teams knew this. A question. Why didn't either the managers or the players take it into their own hands?
So
if they knew about this was going on, why didn't managers tell the other manager, listen, you keep this up, one of your top guys is going to get pegged?
So they did kind of, in a way, do that. Jonathan Lucroy talked about how basically it got back to the commissioner that it was going on.
Yeah, they
and
went to the
happen.
Commissioner and nothing happened.
And he claimed that they would change signs every single pitch, basically, because they knew the Astros were doing it. Mike Fiers actually called J.D. Martinez before their playoff series and tipped them off to it. And then Martinez went to Cora, which...
And Cora said, yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. He's like, yeah, we're doing it here, too. But that's... The fact that Cora wouldn't tell his guys, that's a bad look on Cora's part. You're going up against the Astros?
Well, if J.D. Martinez had not gone to Cora...
What the hell?
Would he have said anything?
I don't know. I would hope so.
I mean, maybe he's just talking to pitchers and catchers and saying, hey, listen, guys, we got to change signals every pitch.
I also think...
Because I know what they're doing over there.
And I also think, as far as going the Mike Fiers route and not just telling other... See, I think... Team to team, they knew, and I think there's a lot of discussion. But as far as going to a reporter and sitting down with a reporter and telling him everything that's happening, you can kind of understand why a lot of guys didn't. Mike Fiers has already said he's gotten death threats over all this.
I believe it.
So you know what the backlash
probably
is.
Probably Astros fans.
100% Astros fans. But you understand what the backlash might be. So I think publicly you might have a hard time doing it. But I'm sure we're going to hear even more stories about player to player. Like, what one guy and all the different... like press conferences that we've seen in the spring, it doesn't sound like any of the guys were shocked by it, right?
No.
They're like, oh, there was a lot of rumors about what the Astros are doing, especially if you're in the AL West. They all knew what was going on. Maybe the National League teams were a little less aware, but it was not really a well kept secret.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Tom E. Curran will join us here in studio at the top of the hour. Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI.
Ready for more?
Dale and Keith on WEEI.
So apparently there's been a bit of controversy at the combine today.
Oh boy.
Alabama,
who's got small hands now?
Yeah, no hand measurement for this one.
All right, all right.
Alabama wide receiver Jerry Jeudy was at the podium taking questions. And he was wearing a Star of David around his neck, a necklace with a Star of David on it. And he was asked about it. He said, my last name is Jeudy. People sometimes call me Jew, so I got a Jewish star. I'm not Jewish, though.
Oh, boy.
Well, let's say the reaction on social media got a little harsh.
Yeah, I don't...
He tweeted out at about 11:15, don't mean no disrespect to the Jewish people. I'm sorry to the people who take my chain offensive! !
Oh, trade up to get him.
They've shown pictures of him. He's worn this on a number of occasions in the past. There was a picture that he posted on his Instagram of walking on the Walk of Champions before a game at Bryant-Denny Stadium this past season, and he had it on, in the photo.
Yeah, that's one where I think you keep that to yourself.
Yeah.
I think you keep that one to yourself.
And you know what? I'll even grant you that he's, you know, young and naive and just doesn't understand that that can cause some offense.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
First of all, who gave it to him? I mean,
bought it.
Did he buy it
booster,
for himself?
Probably. I don't know.
Did he buy it for himself?
If that's his nickname. It's not the best nickname.
Well, I can see, you know, if his last name is Judy as it is, and guys calling him Jew, I guess, but.
But then you take it one step further and you go get the
And you go wear the Star of David because that's your nickname.
I mean, he's still going to be either the first or second wide receiver taken in the draft, and the guy is excellent, but that just sort of is a kind of a dumb thing.
So he got to the podium.
Yeah.
He had his credentials hanging around his neck.
Yeah.
He took the credential and he tucked it into his sweatshirt, but he left the Star of David out of the sweatshirt. The reporter says, hey, what's that all about? What's the significance of that?
Yeah.
And he told him.
Well, as long as he don't mean no disrespect to the Jewish people.
That's what he said.
Sorry to people who take my chain offensive.
He got a lot of blowback, let's just say.
Yeah. Yeah, he would. And that's the thing is what we also always hear during the combine is during the interviews, like the ridiculous, ridiculous stuff.
Questions that are asked.
And so this one's in the public forum, but you can only imagine some of the questions that he's going to be asked when he sits there with the teams, right? They try to get under your skin a little bit. They try to see how you're going to react to stuff. So much so that
the NFL had to put in some guidelines for things that you weren't allowed to ask about.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of the questions, as you said, designed to get under your skin were so patently offensive.
They're like, heard your mother's a prostitute?
Yeah.
And you're like, what are we doing here? We're talking about football? Or what is it? Like, what is this? Yeah, some of them got really out of hand. So, I don't know. But, yeah, that's an odd way to start the combine if you're Jerry Jeudy.
I mean, it's podium day today for wide receivers, quarterbacks, and tight ends. So, a lot of people. And he's a very highly regarded prospect. I mean, he's going to be a first-round pick.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to draw a crowd.
Yeah, for sure.
Needless to say.
Well, I wonder what the reaction was after that, like just amongst those that were asking him the questions, like looking around like, okay. Anyway, the SEC competition has got to get you ready for this day, right?
And I'm going to kind of give him the benefit of the doubt here. I'm going to suggest that he's a bit naive. He's obviously young. He's a young kid, but naive and just didn't understand how that was going to be.
No, I know. But
how that was going to be read by people.
Yeah, he's only 20 years old. I mean, he's definitely a young guy, but nobody tipped him off on that. But hey, by the way, maybe...
Like Nick Saban? Or,
yeah, like maybe...
He was wearing it at Alabama. We've got a picture of him. And didn't Nick Saban or a position coach say...
I guess not.
Jerry, if you want to wear it, that's fine, but you might want to tuck that in.
He's like, yeah, it's my nickname. I have no problem. I can explain it to everybody. I'm like, all right, there he is. The Jerry Jeudy story.
Yeah, well, he... Got
or Jew, as he's referred to by his teammates.
He got himself some attention today at the combine.
Yikes.
And let's be honest, the whole football media is all gathered there begging for something to happen. They're sick of tweeting out about guys' hand sizes.
Well, that was the story from day one, so now this is story of day two. I mean, let's start running some 40s. I want to see some 40
some
times.
Three cone drills,
yes,
and stuff.
Let's go. Vertical, bench, broad jump.
Who are any good, they're not doing any of that stuff anyway.
No, some of them aren't. But no, some of the speed guys go. They try to, you know, break records or do whatever else. So I'm looking forward to it.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Tom E. Curran will join us here at the top of the hour. We'll talk with him from NBC Sports Boston for the entire hour. We'll get to your calls as well. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.